This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. A master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming and neurosemantics, the founder of Adamaya Consultancy and Services, Sharifa Shawati is here with us today to talk about her latest book, Smart Women, Foolish Choices. Now, the book aims to educate and inspire women to become individuals of substance and help them manage their thoughts, emotions and behaviours, and also how to manage their relationships with the opposite sex. So welcome, Shawati.
Hi, Frida.
We've known each other forever.
Yes.
So it's good to have you here. Before we get into your book, though, you know, you went from TV presenting, right? And then going into...
I was with you before.
Yes, yes. Last century.
Yeah.
You went into image consulting and also fashion, right?
Yes.
So tell me about that story first.
It started when I was in the airlines. Okay, I was juggling two careers at the same time.
Yes.
And then, of course, the seven-year itch hit me. And I went on to doing broadcasting for as a full-time job.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I went on to doing image consultancy. So and it went on and on and on. So when I was doing my hairstyling, I felt that I needed to have some USP for my job and my services. So I thought of image consulting, and that's where it started. So I went into image consulting and consulting people, consulting my clients about how to do their hair and what sort of look that suits them. And, you know, it's more than that, actually, when you do image consulting, because it was supposed to be understanding yourself.
Mm.
Okay, what suits you and what suits you best and what works for you. So and it went deeper and deeper. And I learned about neuro-linguistic programming. It's more about how to handle human beings, you know, persuasion skills and how to deal with people, how to understand them further and all those things.
Right.
And that's how I got to do my first book.
Yeah.
It was on the image consulting as well. But I started off as about the image as a whole, you know, as a package. What is the positive image?
Mm.
And well, you know, the positive image, it comes in a package where you have to learn how to communicate well and how to dress well, how to handle yourself well, and the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you move, the way everything.
Right.
And that's how my first book came about in 2007. It was called Image Under, Asset Under.
Well, oh, wow. 2007. Okay.
2007. It was like, yeah, 2007. My first book. It was produced by Karan Croft.
Mm.
And it was really nice because when I train, I use that book. And then I gave all my participants that book and they use that as a guidance, the whole thing, the whole works, like what color do you use and to understand your body language, your body analysis, you know, and what sort of clothes that suits you best that actually covers your figure challenges. I call it figure challenges. We all have our challenges, you know, in our body, and nobody is actually satisfied with their own body. So there have to be like some kind of challenges that you have.
Right.
And even myself, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. But, you know, you learn how to do
it. You accentuate your best assets.
That's right.
I like the book. Image under, asset under.
Asset under. You are your best asset.
Right.
Yeah.
Your image is your best asset.
Yes, right, image is your best asset. Because what people see when they see you is you.
Hmm.
They don't see your car. They don't see your house. They don't see whatever that you are doing, but you.
Hmm.
And this is how they assume and how they make assumption.
Hmm.
And this assumption started with your appearance before you even speak.
Right.
And then when you speak, after 15 minutes, then they will get to know you better and they will feel that vibe, whether it's good or bad. The vibes that you're giving determines whether they would like to associate with you more or not.
Hmm.
Yes.
And then you went to fashion design.
Fashion is my passion.
Okay.
So I've had that in me since I started in the airlines.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to do something in beauty. And I love to see beautiful things and I love to make people look beautiful.
Mm.
And that is actually a fulfillment for me.
Right.
And if I see someone, like if I sit in the cafe, I see someone walking past by me and I see like I can do something with this person. Mm. Not really good looking, but I turn them into something outstanding.
Right.
That would be a challenge for me. I don't want to have someone who's already pretty and I put clothes on them. They are already pretty. But I want to have someone which is normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I turn them into something more outstanding. So
right.
That's my fulfillment. That's my purpose of doing what I do and in my work.
Okay. So in terms of your fashion, where are your clothes available? You know, where is it distributed? And you've participated in, I guess, fashion
yes.
Events as well,
yes.
Right?
I started in 2016. It started because when I was doing my training with the government ministries, I realized that they love to use black, suits.
Mm.
And I was telling them, you know, you can do a lot of things rather than just buying black jackets.
Right.
But I didn't want to be too drastic. Mm. So I started my collection with black suits, but different silhouettes, different textures, different. So it's called monochrome. Mm. But you can do a lot of things with black.
Mm.
You can actually differentiate it with fabrics or detailings or things like that. And then, and this is what I did with my first collection in 2016. Where I entered the Malaysian Fashion Week 2016, and it was all about suits and all. And I wanted to educate people that they can actually be stylish while in the boardroom or in your corporate environment. It doesn't have to be black, but you can make the black become more stylish with fabrics and different sort of silhouette and cuts. So this is what I was trying to do with them. And so when I was doing my training, I tell them what to do and what suits to wear, or what kind of cuts they need. And then they said, where can I get this? Well, Adamaya has this.
Right. Okay. So your career has been very interesting, right? From flying and then with, a TV in broadcast and then going into, it's sort of related, but not really. Then you go into NLP and image, fashion and all that. And of course, in writing books as well.
Yeah.
If I were to ask you which one is your favorite, is it easy to say?
Oh my God, they're all my favorite.
All my babies.
But you know, I love consulting because I can see myself doing this even if I'm 80 years old.
Right.
Because I'm truly inspired by Katie Byron, the famous speaker in the US, and she's quite matured, and for her age, I think she's still doing this. And I'm truly inspired by her because even though you're aging gracefully, but you can actually share your experiences, what your thoughts will be, and through these experiences, you can actually share with others. So this is what my core is. I love consulting, and I don't know, I feel like someone told me that, hey, Shawati, you should do something like this because you're such a healer. Because when I do training, people come up to me after the training asking me about things,
right.
About my opinions, about my advice. And I sort of like, do I have a healer's face or something, or a counselor's
Hence
face?
Hence this book.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's how it became, you know, it actually encouraged me to come up with this book because when I do my training, it's not just about image branding.
Right.
Image branding constitutes with a lot of things, how you develop yourself from within and how you manage yourself, managing perceptions,
right.
Managing your own emotions,
so
managing relationships.
Because one of the things is like a simple thing, like when a person is feeling down, the body will be hunched and it'll affect the way you look.
Exactly.
Right? So it all connects, right? You can make a person stand straight, but just by nature, if you're not feeling happy and all that, your body slumps and it all comes through.
Exactly. Spot on. You just said it. Because this is all very, very important.
Mm.
And when they come up to me and say, oh, why does this happen to me? Why? And I said, what's all these whys?
Mm.
Haven't you thought of the solutions?
Like, right.
Okay, you always say to yourself, I've done this. Why is it not happening like this? Haven't you thought of what have you not done differently that could change the result?
And then that's where NLP comes in as well, right? Reframing with the different questions. And instead of saying, you know, why does this always happen to me? You can say, how can I make the situation better?
Better.
Right? We'll talk about your book, which is, I find very interesting because you've got interesting topics within the book. Smart Women, Foolish Choices is a book. I'm here with Datin Sharifah Shawati. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Datin Sharifah Shawati. I forgot to call her Datin earlier on. She's from Adamai. She's from Adamai Consulting and Services. She's a fashion designer, image consultant. She's a master practitioner in NLP and written two books. The current book is called Smart Women, Foolish Choices. And you explained a little bit earlier on why you wrote this book. Now, you go into relationship advice as well, you know, and it goes without saying that you never settle for less than, you know, what we are worth, right? But in what sense are we evaluating the worth of the potential partner as a career-driven woman?
Okay. It depends on what you want, actually. And it differs. You might want something different and the other person might want something different. It depends on really what you want. Some people say, I don't really expect much, my guy.
Then you will not get much.
Then you wouldn't get much. Okay. What is your definition of much? You must actually state that. What would be your best of much? Okay, so you have to be specific. You have to write it down. Because if you say much, it could be anything. If you don't have much, don't have this much. But in your definition, that is, you have to stand by that. Because whatever decisions that you decide, you have to go by that.
Right.
And you cannot say, oh, I regret. I cannot say, oh, you blame the other person. Cannot.
Okay, here's the thing as well, right? It's a very Malaysian situation where people get married because of societal expectations by a certain age, right? And they will just, because you have to have children, right? And this is society, right?
Like a stigma.
What do you then advise people? I mean, then they will settle for less because the clock is ticking.
Yeah, because the clock is ticking for everyone, actually. Even now, I think most of my friends who are successful and they are very, very, very good in their careers, they're very successful people. And especially in this book, they are all successful. They can do a lot of things with their work and they know how to make decisions on their work. But when it comes to relationship, they fail. Because, you see, women are very vulnerable and we say things like, okay, I'm not going to do this, but we still do it anyway. It depends on the situation that we're in and the vulnerabilities are there. But how do we control that? How do we control our mind to say, hey, this is not what I want. This is not what I want, what I'm in it for.
Right.
So, and you're not going to go further. So you just have to control your mind.
Right.
Because your mind is controlled by you.
Okay.
And you are the master of your mind. So you have to tell yourself this, I'm bigger than my mind and I'm going to tell my mind that this is what I want. So I'm not going to accept this and I'm not going to allow this.
Right. Yeah. Now, you also your book guides women with strategies to apply boardroom achievements to their romantic pursuits and endeavors. Right? That's what now. So tell me more about this strategy. So what boardroom achievements and skills can be applied to romance?
Okay, just how you do your SWOT analysis in your businesses. SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So, and the book explains everything, because you know why? When you're meeting a guy, right? Okay, and you do this SWOT analysis, okay, what will be his strengths? Okay, maybe you like someone like, oh, he's good looking, that could be his strength. And, oh, he's very well to do, he's financially sound, that could be his strength. And what will be your weaknesses, his weaknesses? Okay, well, you can see that he's using drugs. That's a very bad sign. That's a red sign there. Don't go there. Or maybe weaknesses like stingy.
Good.
Stingy. You go for your date and he expects you to pay. Well, it depends, because some people are...
Don't mind, yeah.
But some people are not. But it's a thing that you put for yourself and the standard that you set for your own benchmark, whether this guy is the guy for you. Because once he says, you pay for this first, then it's going to go on like that, definitely.
Right.
It's like a pattern.
Right.
It's like a habitual thing. So would you be able to accept that in the long run? Maybe now, yes, but... what about in the long run? Maybe once in a while you like to be pampered, or you like to be taken care of, you know, those kind of things.
Mm. Okay. Now, what are the cases of women who spend years of their lives in a career, and by the time, you know, she reaches her definition of success, or still in the journey of success and career, she's not as young anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Again, you know, just, we're talking about a little bit to my earlier question as well. So is it ever too late?
It's never too late. Mm. Never give up on love. I read this book from Jennifer Lopez. Mm. And, you know, how many marriages she's gone through. Yeah, and she's hot.
Right.
Oh, my God, I'm a true fan. I mean, right. She's hot. But
mine too.
Yeah. But how many marriages? 6, 7? But then she never gives up on love. And she's actually 50. It's my age. Mm. I'm turning 50 this year.
All right.
I've just turned 50 last 2 months ago.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, in August. So, but age is just a number. It's never too late. Mm. As long as you take care of yourself, like the car, you have to go for servicing and all that. Do that for yourself.
Maintenance.
Spa and everything. So it's never the age thingy. It's how you feel inside. Because when you tell yourself that you feel old, then your body starts to demonstrate that. It starts to work that way. Never, never even mention that word OLD.
Right.
It's not even in my vocabulary.
One of the things that I always say to myself is that I'm ageless. So that, and the reason I say that is then I have the energy to run, I have the energy to do that. So I just say I feel ageless.
Exactly. Congratulations.
Right? So these are words that I have to say to myself. And I do believe it, right?
Yes.
Because the moment you put this barrier, like, you know, like just recently I read this article about the 71-year-old woman who just finished a half marathon in whatever, like unbelievable hours. It's like, okay, you know, and I'm sure she's not thinking about her age.
She's not. She's enjoying life.
Mm.
And she says, okay, whatever. I'm just going to enjoy this. I don't care. Mm. I mean, I'm going to be happy. I choose to be happy. So this is what we all should do. Choose to be happy. And everything falls nicely in everything you do. You don't think about all this sadness. You choose to be happy.
What does an ideal relationship look like between a career-driven woman and her romantic partner?
Well, it's all about communication. It's very crucial and understanding. This is why this book is all about. It's to understand. It's not about bashing men. Mm. I have to say this because some men think, oh, this is a book about bashing us. No, no, it's not. Because I did interview some of the men and find about, you know, try to understand what they feel about this book.
Right.
And I say it's a good book. But maybe you should also do a book about how men feels.
Right.
Yeah, maybe the next one.
Okay. Okay.
Series of these books. But, you know, it's not about bashing men. Again, I have to repeat, it's about understanding why men do certain things in certain ways.
Mm.
And we are not supposed to be quick to judge, quick to be emotional about it, but to understand further why they do these things.
Mm.
And if you can put yourself in a man's brain, you'll be able to master yourself very, very nicely.
Mm.
And you'll be able to understand that whatever they do is not going to affect you.
Right.
And you're not going to be in sadness or whatever.
One of the books you talked about this this lady who was having Yani, her name that you used there, who was in an affair. Maybe you can share a little bit about that story and how this was addressed.
Okay. Well, all these women who wrote to me are all were my participants.
Mm.
Okay. We trained them.
Yeah.
And then they came to me and they wrote to me and they said, okay, I have this problem and I don't know if you can give me this advice. And again, I was thinking, not counselor, but
I'm a trainer,
but never mind.
Okay.
I mean, I welcome that because it got me into doing this book.
Right.
So what she was experiencing was she was a married woman and she still is right now. And she was not in a good relationship with her husband in her marriage. It was a stale marriage that she was going on, going through. And she didn't know what to do because she was bored and she didn't get the attention from the husband. This is what's happening in this world.
Right.
It's not just Yani, but I think all more women facing this problem.
And vice versa.
And it's a very common problem. And if you put yourself in their shoe, you'll be able to understand why she feels that way. Because as a woman, you want to be taken care of.
Mm.
You want the attention. Women want attention.
Mm.
The constant care.
Right.
And the constant
being cherished.
Yes. Mm. You know? So after a while, after being married, of course, there will be monotony and you don't know what to do with it. And there comes, okay, this guy is too busy for her. Her husband's too busy and she wants more attention. So come on, I mean, you have to put yourself again where you came from before, before you got married, and why you got married. Why was he attracted to you, and why were you attracted to him? So when you put that together again, you will find the answer. Something is lacking somewhere.
Right.
Either you're not taking care of yourself, or he's not thinking about you anymore because he has somebody else, because you're not taking care of yourself, or maybe you fell out of love.
Right.
That happens.
Right.
Because marriage is not a permanent thing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's hard work.
It's hard work. Mm. And when you say, oh, when parents say, okay, she got married, now she's safe. No, she's not.
She's not.
She's not. This is going to be another dimension of her journey.
Right.
And it's going to be a really, really big dimension for her, because she's going to take care of her kids, taking care of her house, if she's working, her work, her career, and her husband. So it's not an easy job. But then again, if you know how to manage your time well, and you respect yourself enough to give yourself some time to take care of yourself, this is crucial. It's a must.
Right.
It's a responsibility that you owe it to yourself.
Mm. So she got out of that situation.
She got out of that situation
after
I taught her a few tips to understand further. It's all about the understanding. Sometimes you can't change the situation.
Right.
Either you do something about it, or you do something differently to overcome it. It's how you face the problem.
Right.
And when you face a problem, it's how you think of it.
Mm.
Don't think of it as a problem, but think of it as a challenge that is a lesson learned.
Mm.
And this lesson will actually make you become better and better every day, a different person. Mm. So when you become a different person who is better in what she is and who she is, you'll be able to make your decisions more clearer.
Hmm. So where can people get hold of your book?
This is by MPH.
Right.
Produced by MPH. And all the MPH bookstores in the Klang Valley. And I'm actually planning to also sell it on Amazon.com.
Right.
And it'll be also be sold in Air Asia, our shop. Channel, because I'm the brand consultant for our shop now. Thank you so much, AirAsia, for that duty.
So if you want to get a hold of the book, Smart Women, Foolish Choices, of course that's written by Datin Sharifat Shawati. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.